If you're a guest, welcome to Promised Land. We're glad that you're here. This is a family of believers that, man, we love new people. We love guests. We love people that are new to church. We love people that are new to Christ, new to Christianity. We love people that are new to town. I just met some folks in the other services that are new to this area, people that are new to Christianity. So it's just awesome. This is a safe place for you to come, be a part of. And throughout the day, you'll hear several different ways that you can connect. If you're ready to find out more about the church, we have multiple ways for you to connect this week. So we'd love to connect with you. Turn in your Bible, if you have a Bible or an app or something, turn to the book of Mark, the second chapter. And I'm going to teach today a message that I call a standalone message. It's not a series. It's just today and that's it. All right. Next week, we're starting a message series that will go throughout the rest of September called Family 30. And for 30 days, we're going to be focusing on building strong families. So this is going to be great for marriages and for parenting and for kids. And if you're a Texas State student, I like to say that a series like this is probably your best course that you're going to take this semester, okay? You want to get here, take notes, get ready, because if you don't have a family already, you're going to have a family of your own someday. You need to be prepared and ready before. Y'all see my wet sleeve right here? Just baptized somebody in the second service. So I always love when I get to preach with a wet arm. Yeah. All right, so Jesus is teaching about his way, and Jesus has a way, and then the world has a way, and Jesus wanted to make sure that everybody knew that he had a way, but he also wanted to make sure that everybody was ready for his way. And the message that we're going to learn today from Scripture is that you could actually be ready for God's way, or you could not be ready for God's way. And if you're not ready, then you will actually thwart or stymie or whatever kind of cool word you want to use. Slow down, stop God's movement in your life. So he says, he uses this metaphor, Mark 2:22. No one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the wine would burst the wineskins, and the wine and the skins would both be lost. New wine calls for new wineskins. So if you're not familiar with wineskin, they didn't have glass back in these days. So in order to house or hold the wine, they used skins of sheep or goats. They would take the skin, cure it, clean it, and all that kind of stuff. And they would then fasten it together to form a sort of vessel. And this was a wine skin. They would pour the wine in there, and the wine during its fermentation process would expand. And if it was a new skin, it was expandable. It was flexible. It was movable. But if it was an old skin, then it would have hardened, and it would not be able to move. And so Jesus says that this is not the way you want it to go. Because two bad things happen. First of all, the wineskin breaks. But when the wineskin breaks, an even worse thing happens. The wine is wasted. And so neither one lasts if you don't have the right container or vessel. And what he's saying is that the wine, the new wine that's coming forth is his way. His way. Jesus said in John 10 that he has come to bring life, but not any kind of life. What kind of life? New life, abundant life, fruitful life. That's new wine. Another place in Scripture, Jesus compares this newness to fresh bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, meaning that his word is coming forth, it's fresh, and it can nourish you. So God has a source of whatever metaphor you want to use, bread or wine, newness. It's his plan. It's his abundant life that's coming forth. So the problem or issue is not the source. Amen? The source is good. The source is abundant. The source is never going to run out. In fact, he also says, he compares it to a well. This well will never go dry. This is the abundance of God pouring out upon people. But this scripture is so clear. The story he's saying is that even though the flow is coming from God, we ourselves, our mindset, could limit the impact of God's new wine. So we're going to have a mind shift today. You know, the shift key on your key board there is very important. You hit it and it capitalizes a letter. So we're going to take your lowercase life and uppercase it, all right, with a mind shift, presenting a new wineskin for God to blow your mind. How about that? God to change your life, change what's happening in your life. So there's several things that shape the way we think, our wineskin. So I'm going to keep using wineskin, and I've even said mindskin or whatever. Okay, your wineskin is your thinking. It's your mentality. What shapes your old way of thinking? Well, it's your history. It's your family history. It's your parents. It's the way you were raised. It's the town you were raised up in. It was the school that you were brought up in. It was your brothers and sisters' culture. It was coaches in your life. It was athletic teams. It was band. These shape the way you think. Job history shapes the way you think. Bosses that you've had, maybe they spoke into your life and encouraged you. Maybe they berated you and whatever. Or maybe they're just ambivalent. Coworkers, neighbors. These all shape the way we think. Social relationships with people, friendships, people that have been around you shape the way you think. Our marriages shape the way we think. I say marriages like there's a bunch of marriages in here, but maybe you've had multiple marriages. That shapes the way you think. One marriage, two marriages, however many marriages, wives, husbands, those shape the way you think. And so my point here today is let's examine our mindset and the way we think, because it's possible we could be the people that Jesus is addressing here, and we might actually be avoiding or making impotent the power of God because of our way of thinking, because of our history and experiences that we've had. Failures and successes in our own life shape the way we see the world. The books that we read, the movies that we watch, the things we see online, the documentaries. I mean, it's amazing to me how smart we are, right? There's so many documentaries on Netflix. And somebody will come to me, start talking about all these facts. And I said, what did you watch on Netflix, right? We're experts in everything. We watch stuff. It shapes the way we think, the way we eat, the way we buy things. It shapes us. What we watch, what we read, good or bad, it begins to form the way we think. And Jesus is telling us that this could play a part in if you are ready for his way or not. And people have not changed over time. They were the same way in Jesus' time as they are today. We're tempted in other ways. We're challenged in different ways. But we're really the same. Humans are humans. And there was this time early in Jesus' ministry when he was preaching in his hometown, Nazareth. And man, he was going at it. He was dropping some serious truth on them. He was prophesying. He was reading scripture. He was just profoundly talking about the way of life and God's way and all this. And the Bible says that they were astonished. They were blown away. Like, wow, this is amazing. What Jesus was doing was pouring out new wine on them. He was pouring it out. And they began to taste some of that. And they began to experience some of that. But guess what? They had old wineskins. And this is how it was displayed. They started saying, wait a minute. This is Jesus. I mean, we know Jesus from when he was a little kid. This is the son of Joseph and Mary. Joseph's just a carpenter. How could this guy be teaching us when he's a carpenter's son? You see, that's their way of thinking. That was their old wineskin. Because of their attitude and their mindset toward Jesus, they were unable to receive the fullness of what God had for them. Look what Matthew 13 and 58 says. It says, "Now he," Jesus, "did not do many mighty works there because of their old wineskin," right? Their unbelief was the way their framework limited. This is the most powerful man in the history of the world, in the future of the world, and he's in their midst. He's physically in front of them. And he still is unable to do many mighty works there, even being the Son of God, being able to tell them every single detail of their life and all of that. He's still, even as Jesus himself, cannot do something in their midst. Why? Because of their old wineskins. And so if that happened then, when Jesus was physically in the same room with them, how much more do you think is going to happen today in 2018 when he's not physically in the room with us today? He's got power. He's got the way. He's got the knowledge, the wisdom, and all that. So here's the truth. Listen to this. God wants to take you from where you are right now to a new place. Just let that be a new wine over you. Let that be freshness over you. God wants to take you to a new place. I'm not talking about a new geographical location. I'm not talking about moving you out of state or whatever. God wants to take you to a new place in your faith in him. God wants to take you to a level of faith that is invincible, that is bulletproof, that is resilient, that is strong. No matter if you are bankrupt and struggling and doubting that God is existing, or you are winning and bonuses and raises and all kind of commissions, and you're about to take all the credit for it yourself. Bad faith there. Bad faith there. Paul, the apostle, said it like this. I've been in both places. I've been in a place, you know, where I'm sitting by the pool, eating grapes, getting a tan, and all that. Paul, the apostle, was like that before he came into the faith with Jesus. And then he was in the pit of the prison, under the ground, no sunlight, eating a rotten, molded piece of crumbs from bread. And he said, I found to be content, whether I'm in this place or that place, my faith is not determined by my surroundings. It's not determined by my blessings or my defeats. Amen. That's where Paul was. That's where God wants to take you and me. Amen. That's where he wants us to go, to a place where we are strong in our faith, resilient in our faith, making other disciples with our faith, helping build the kingdom of God by faith. God wants to take you there. That is a message for you. That's the truth. Paul said it like this in Philippians 2 and 5. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. If you want the promise of Jesus, then let's get the mind of Jesus. Because if we still have our old way of thinking, and we're still basing everything off what we've seen and what we've experienced and the facts that we've known in our life, and we're trying to put this amazing, big, perfect God into the framework of our broken human condition, we're going to limit his ability in our life. Instead of having old, brittle wineskin that's been based on your past, your family, your education, and all that, he is wanting us to open it up to his way of thinking, a new wineskin. Here's the deal. Listen to this. There is a devil that is roaming around seeking whom he may devour. And the devil, his main goal is to keep you weak and to keep you disconnected from the truth of God. And so the devil only has one weapon that works, and it's simply lying. In fact, Jesus says he's the father of all lies. All lies come from Satan. So he's using lie after lie after lie to you and me to try to keep us away from what God has already done for us. Think about this. Jesus has already died on the cross for every single human in the world. Billions of people. He's already went to the grave for them. He already defeated death for them and rose from the dead. Yet there are billions of people that are not living in that truth of freedom and salvation. Why? Because the devil's lie is working on them. And I'm not talking about people out in the bars. I'm talking about people in church also. Do you realize that even if you've been in church a long time, you are still sometimes trying to put God's way into your old mindset? And what the reason why is two things happen. One is there's just bad teaching and preaching that over the years have caked on top of us, and religious systems have been, you know, that's part of it possibly, that we've allowed religion to be more important than our relationship with Jesus, and that's caused us to have a bad mindset. But more than that, I think, is that we have so much secular influence on our life, is that we take secular ways of thinking and apply it to biblical truths instead of the other way around. Instead of being based in the Bible and facing the world, we take the world's posture and position and try to put God on top of that. I love our At the Movies series that's going to come up in November this year, where we're going to take modern day movies and apply it to the gospel and show you how they compare and contrast. Because, man, so often, things that we're entertained by are influencing the way we think, and instead of having a filter of the gospel and looking at everything through the lens of Jesus, we flip it around. And so when we come to church, excuse me, I need some water or something. Thank you. Instead of coming to the church, goodness, y'all. Let's do this. The devil wants me to shut up, but I'm not going to shut up. Hey, the lights went off in the last service. We just kept going. Listen to this out of Joyce Meyer's book, The Battlefield of the Mind. She says, the devil begins by bombarding our mind with a cleverly devised pattern of little nagging thoughts, suspicions, doubts, fears, wonderings, reasonings, theories. He moves slowly and cautiously through careful strategy and cunning deceit. Satan attempts to set up strongholds in the mind. A stronghold is an area in which we are held in bondage, in a prison of the mind, due to a certain way of thinking. And the devil doesn't want you to know the truth. The devil doesn't want you thinking about the truth. He knows the truth. He knows what King David said in Psalm 18:29. For by you, God, I can run against a troop, and by my God, I can leap over a wall. He knows what Isaiah said, Isaiah 54:17. But in that coming day, no weapon turned against you will prosper. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servant of the Lord. Their vindication comes from me. I, the Lord, have spoken. That's new wine. That's the truth. That is reality. Even if we don't see that with our eyes, the truth is that no weapon formed or fashioned against you will prosper. You can go against the enemy. You can leap over walls that have been placed in front of you by the power of God. But when we try to hear that truth and reconcile it with our life and our old mindset, it doesn't work. And the healing that we're looking for, and the purpose that we're looking for, and the position maybe that you're looking for, all begins with your wineskin. And it all begins with a mind shift. Shifting the stinking thinking in your mind. Those of you that have been around for a while know that my favorite parable in Scripture is when Jesus talks about the prodigal son. And I use it almost every week, so I'm going to use it again. Okay, so the prodigal son takes his inheritance. And this is something that's interesting. He didn't take his inheritance because he wanted to be rich. He was already rich with his father. He just wanted power. He wanted independence. So he takes his wealth and he goes out on his own. Well, he wastes it all. And he finds himself in the pit of despair, and he's scraping around trying to find something to eat in a pig pen. He's cut off relations from friends. He's cut off relations from family. He's burned bridges. He has no money. He has no resources. He is separated from his true identity. He's miles and miles physically away, emotionally away, spiritually away. Mentally, he's away. He's away. He's lost in a new way of thinking. But look what Luke 17, verse 17 of chapter 15. Jesus, again, think about this. Jesus made this parable up. So he could have made it up any way he wanted to, right? This is not a true story. It didn't really happen. This is a story that Jesus created to teach a point. So that means he could have created it any way he wanted to. But he put this in here. This is when the young son makes a turn. Look what it says. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger." What is that saying? It says that he had a mind shift. Something changed in his thinking. He came to his senses. Another translation says he came to himself. He woke up. The old framework of how I'm going to live my life was shifted to a new framework of what could be if I went back to my father. T.D. Jakes would say it like this: if you want to be delivered into the place where God wants you to go, a baby, a healthy delivery, always comes out head first. Of course, I can't say it like T.D. Jakes, but that is how he would, that's what he would say. Erica was just out of birth yesterday, and she's a midwife, and so she goes to births all the time, and I always love hearing the stories. And sometimes before the birth happens, she's like, "Uh-oh, this one's rear end, down, breech." That's not the way we want to have a birth. We want to be head first, head coming out first. If you want to come out of the situation where you're at, the first thing that needs to happen is for there to be a mind shift. God, you're out there. You're real. You exist. There's got to be a different way. This is not you making a move first. This is not you, you know, finding God. God found you. You wouldn't be sitting in this room. You wouldn't be watching online right now. You wouldn't be catching up or tuning in or listening to me if God hadn't made a move on you already. He's made a move. Excuse me. He's made a move on you. He's made a move on you. And now is our opportunity to say yes to whatever he's saying and allow your thinking to be changed. Come to your senses. Come to yourself. A mind shift. And please hear me. This is not just you thinking positive thoughts. This is not a sermon about, okay, everybody, wake up and look at the sun and go, "Ah, oh, it's sunny outside. Whee! Life is good." No, that's not what this is about. It's not about positive thinking. It is about changing the way you think about God and the way you think about yourself to the way the Bible thinks about God and the Bible thinks about yourself. Y'all see the difference? We have a frame of reference about who we are and who God is. But the Bible has a different perception of who God is and who you are. So instead of taking all of your history and all of your education and all the hurt and all the problems, all the difficulties, and trying to filter God through that old mindset, let's not do that. Let's trade it for what the Bible says. Amen. About what the Bible says about us and God. All right, I want to end this with the definition of the new mindset. And we're going to go to Matthew, the 6th chapter, and the 10th through 13th verse. Actually, just the 13th verse. This is the Lord's Prayer. Y'all know this. You probably memorized it. Our Father who art in heaven, you know, hallowed be thy name. That's what we call the Lord's Prayer. Jesus is teaching us how to pray, and he gives us this example. Now, we've done sermon series on this. We've taught on prayer. Many of you have read this, memorized it, pray this exact prayer, probably. Word for word, which is great. Usually when we're in a sermon series, man, we're like breaking this down verse by verse and really digging into it. And by the time we get to verse 13, we kind of run out of gas. So we're going to start at the end. And that's all we're going to do. We're going to talk about this last sentence. It says, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's the lies of the enemy. And here's how that's going to work. We're gonna go from, this is the end of the prayer. This is how we're closing the prayer. We're closing the prayer with a posture to live the rest of this day out. The posture to live the rest of this day out is this proclamation right here. And you should memorize this. You should write this down. You should, there's three parts to it that each one are important. Here it is. We're talking to God. So that means when it says yours, that means God's. God's is the kingdom. The kingdom belongs to God. That's the realm, the sphere, the earth, the planet, all that. It's God's. And not just the planet, but every single detail of the planet is God's realm, God's kingdom. It all belongs to who? But see, our old mindset doesn't think that. The old mindset thinks, I gotta fight to win. I gotta dig and claw and scratch to acquire enough, to buy my own house, to get a nice car, to get a name for myself, because my kingdom come. My will. No. Right? This is God's kingdom. This is the new wineskin. This is not my kingdom. This is God's kingdom. Then it says, it's God's power. God has the ability to do everything that needs to be done for you to be the person he's created you to be. It's God's power to get it done. God's plan, God's kingdom, God's plan, God's kingdom, God's plan. And then to accomplish that plan, the power comes from not you, not me, not your money, not your education. It comes from him. He has the kingdom and he has the power. But look at the last part. It says he also gets all the glory for it forever. Amen. The glory, the credit goes to God. Now, I know that most of you don't walk around saying, I want more credit. You know, I want more credit. I want more glory. Glory to me, or whatever. You know, you don't say that. But how often do we chase after approval and acceptance and wanting people to like us and wanting to have clout? There's actually a software now called Clout, and you enter in all of your social media names, like your Facebook account, Twitter account, Instagram account, Snapchat. You can enter all that into Clout. And it measures your followers and your likes and your retweets and all. It calculates all that. And then it spits out a number, a clout number from 0 to 100. So you can know how much clout you have by all of your social media presence. If you actually, so I'm not going to make you admit it, but if you have had that, or you're somehow seeking after someone's approval of you, and you've been chasing it and chasing it and chasing it, and they've never quite given you enough of it, I want this to bring peace. Let this new wineskin bring peace into your life, that it is his glory that matters. Not our glory. When we understand that it's his kingdom, it's His power, and it's His glory, you will understand that you will have everything you need. That's a new wineskin for Him to pour Himself into you. I want to give you two examples. The first is all the students going back to school. I wasn't here last week because I was out of town, but we had a back-to-school service last week. And so for those of you that are in school, teachers, faculty, coaches, custodians, librarians, parents, students, everybody that's involved with school, let me tell you what the new wine is for school. God has a plan for you at school. God wants you to succeed at school. That's new wine. Do you believe it? But do you have the mindset for it? God wants you to be the exact student that He created you to be. You're going to get a lot out of school. God wants you to get a lot out of school. That's absolutely true. But God also wants you to just be His kid at school. He wants you to be a light at school. He wants you to be a light in a dark place at school. God wants that for you. That's the new wine that God has for you in regards to school. He wants to bless you at school. He wants you to be blessed in that role. But here's what our old wineskin does when we try to take on that promise. The old wineskin says, yeah, but I'm not a good student. I don't make good grades. My GPA is not good enough. I'm not smart like other kids. I don't get along with the teachers. I don't fit in with the in crowd. I'm like 17th chair in the French horns, and there's only 16 chairs, all right? I can't. See how that old framework of your past can limit you from what God really wants to bless you with in your life? The old framework is, I can't. I'm not smart enough. It's not going to work. It's not good. Here's what you need to do when you get into that classroom tomorrow or get on that bus or that quad, you're in the quad at Texas State or whatever. You need to say, this school is God's kingdom. Amen. This is not the school board's kingdom. This is not the principal's kingdom. This is not my mean English teacher's kingdom. This is not even my kingdom. This is God's property. And this can apply to anywhere you go tomorrow, whether you're at work or you're at the house or wherever. This is God's kingdom. Every part of this place belongs to God. And He has put me in this place to reflect Him and to bring light into this dark place. This is a new mindset. This is a new wineskin for you to be and to step into what God has called you to do. God has the power. It's God's power for you to be who He wants you to be at school. And guess what? You're not going to be like everybody else at school. And I'm not just talking about you're not going to be a sinner like them. I'm talking about you may not get the same grades that they get. You're not going to be as good at some things as they are. And you're going to be better at other things. If we compare ourselves to everybody else and we try to establish our value based on how we compare to everybody else, then we're living by the old mindset. Instead of allowing God to just be God and make us into who He wants us to be. There's other ways. God has other ways. And I'm just praying that there is a mind shift in this church. A mind shift. Not just for you individually, but for us as a church. Shifting our thinking. Well, the 8:30 service can only have about 150 people in it because that's all the people that want to wake up early in San Marcos. No. Mind shift. There's people in the 11:30 service that are going to start getting up earlier. Woo! Come on. Allow God to be God in your life. Set that alarm a little earlier. Let God be God. That's the mindset. Some of you are having financial difficulty. And let me just prophesy a little new wine on your finances right now. God wants to provide for you every single thing that you need. Every single thing that you need, God wants to provide for you financially. I'm talking money. Not everything you want. Hello, Lamborghini. No, that's not what we're talking about. Everything that you need. Everything that you need. You never have to worry about a financial need again. That's new wine. That's new wine. Oh, I like new wine. You do. But do you have an old wineskin? Or do you have a new wineskin? The old wineskin is, I don't make enough money. I screwed up too much in the past. I'm in too much debt. My boss is never going to promote me. My spouse keeps spending all the money. Right? My industry is not doing well. The economy is not good. Whatever. We feed ourselves so many things from the old wineskins. We can't even begin to receive the blessings of God because of our negative idea of who God is. And so here's what I want you to do. For those of you that are struggling in this area, I want you to just pray over this. And this is what you say. My bank account is God's kingdom. It's your kingdom, God. Remember that last verse? Let's go, just put verse 13 back up there, if you don't mind. Yeah, this bank account is your kingdom. Amen. It's your kingdom. When you get a bill in the mail, this is what you need to do. You need to take that bill. God, you got mail. This is for you, God. I'm just going to put it right there. Just going to put it right there. Take care of that. Trusting that he's got you taken care of. Believing. This is a new mindset. This is your kingdom. This is your bank account. I'm believing in it. In our family, we've had a lot of things hit us this month financially. And one is I had to get an MRI this month on my neck. I've got discs in my neck that are all falling apart or something. I don't know. Get bad pain and headaches and all that. And so I got an MRI. And my neck, well, that costs a lot of money, hundreds of dollars. And then our little Yorkie got hit by a rattlesnake, got struck by a significant rattlesnake. And so Wednesday we had to take her to the vet. And I don't know if y'all been to the vet in a while, but wow. And when this is your precious little Yorkie, and she's about to die, and they have this little shot, and they go, if you give her this shot, she won't die. You give her the shot. Or you just say, God bless you. You've been a good Yorkie. So we bit the bullet. We got the shot. So then we had back to school, you know, had back to school, new clothes. We had to buy new books because our kids are homeschooled, buy books, buy clothes. That's hundreds of dollars. So we had, and Avery, our little mathematician in our house, was calculating all this. Well, that's over 1,000 and that's over this. And he's like, wow, he's calculating. Well, I got blessed. I got blessed financially with some money outside of my normal income. I got blessed from the outside. And this week I had the literal thought process going on. Am I going to tithe, which means am I going to take a portion of this money and give it to God? Or am I going to take that portion of the money and pay off that vet bill and pay off that MRI and all that? And what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? And it was such an amazing place to be where I said, if there's anything I'm going to do, it's put God first. Because if I want him to help me with these needs that I have, then I want to prove to him, God, I believe in you. I put you first. I know that this is your kingdom. And because I know that this is your kingdom, Lord, take this. Take the whole thing and do with it what you will do, because I know that he's going to take care of everything his kids need. This is your kingdom. You have the power. And God, you're going to get the glory when all of that happens. It's all going to be because of you. In Jesus' name. Let's pray right now. Would you join with me? whatever situation you're going through or facing. Look what God says to David in Psalm 50 when he was wondering about God's power. He says, God says, "For all the animals of the forest are mine." And basically the forest is mine too. "All the animals of the forest are mine. I own all the cattle on 1,000 hills. Look at this. For all the world is mine and everything in it." He owns the cows. He owns the hills. He owns the oil and the gold underneath the hills. He owns everything. God owns it all. It is his kingdom. I just want to pray with you right now that any old stinking thinking that you have is going to fade away. It's going to dissolve into the truth of God's new wineskin, God's new truth. Let there be a mind shift in you today. And I'm going to tell you something. It's going to begin today, but you're going to be tested probably daily from here on out. Do you really believe this? Mind shift. And the way that we combat each one of those tests is by the prayer that Jesus gives us. Lord, this is your kingdom. Lord, this is your power. This is your glory. God, this plan and this idea is all yours. You're going to give me the ability and power to accomplish it. And then after it's accomplished, you're going to get all the credit for it and the glory for it. It's your idea, it's your power, it's your glory, it's your credit. That's going to happen. That's, you know what that is? That's a prayer of humility, submission. God, it's not my way, it's your way. It's not my idea, it's your idea. Help me, help me. In Jesus' name, let's go to him. Just say, Lord, I give you my life today. I surrender my heart to you today. Just examine your life right now. Is there any part of your life that you would label as yours? Your kingdom. Lord, I hand that over to you right now. I hand over my marriage to you. I hand over my broken marriage to you. I hand over my ability to be a good mother, be a good father. Lord, I can't do that. I'm unable to do that. God, I hand over to you my ability to manage money. I hand over to you my ability to manage people at work. I hand over to you my ability to read and to study and to do my assignments. I hand it over. Lord, I hand over to you my ability to help people, to be a difference. I can't do that on my own. I hand that over to you. There's people in here today, I believe they're called to a deeper level of ministry, we would call that. Maybe full-time ministry, maybe traveling to another country. We just had somebody in the first service. God's calling them to Guatemala. Maybe he's calling you to lead a small group this semester or teach a Sunday school class or drive the golf cart or go to prison ministry or something. God's calling you, but the old mindset's like, no, if they knew what you were like, if they knew what you knew, you're not smart enough, you haven't been here long enough. That's the old mindset. Let's just pray right now for new beginnings in connecting to a church, connecting to ministry, connecting to God's purpose and will in your life. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we surrender our ideas and our ideals to yours. God, if there's ways that we're not aware of, God, show us, teach us, expound them to us, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus. God, I'm praying and believing that this is going to be a church on fire, that this is going to be a robust, energetic, passion-filled group of believers that are making a difference in this region and all around the world, because we are not bound by the old ways, but we are released and set free by a new way of thinking, a new wineskin. God, we believe in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody say in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Clap your hands right now and thank God. Yeah, come on.